Welcome to the Intersecting Us podcast, where math and life intersect.
In this week's episode, Brian and Dave explore the playful side of math.
Wouldn't it be cool if you can make a living by just playing? I remember growing up in a small town in Iowa, playing different sports and thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I could be a professional athlete and just play and get paid? It would be such a fun life to do. Now, it didn't happen getting to do that. But as we're looking at this book that we've been doing in this podcast for the last few weeks, and will be for a number of weeks coming, because there's a lot of chapters in this book, this one has the one word title, play. It's the idea that in Mathematics for Human Flourishing by Francis Sue, it's the idea that he looks at this, and the quote that kind of grabbed me at the beginning was, play is voluntary. And I think whatever vocation we're in, or whatever we do outside of our jobs, when we can do what we want and enjoy it, I guess that might almost be a definition of play. But I want to bring Dave in here, because I know one of the things that it had to resonate with you, Dave, because long before we even started Intersecting Us, you had done a lot of work on Lazarus math stories and been playing with math. And so I would think this chapter probably resonated with you quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. It certainly has. I could start, you know, I can go way back almost to when you and I started a company together, because, you know, we left our day job, right, where someone was our boss, and we decided to start a company together so we could kind of play together.
Well, it was voluntary anyway.
And, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, is you think that you leave the corporate world, that you've got freedom and you can kind of play because no one's going to tell you what to do. And that is true. The only downside is you do have to make money to pay your bills. And so as long as you can play and pay your bills at the same time, we could do that. But we actually had some fun programming together, doing some kind of interesting projects. We developed a software together and we came up with all the ideas. And to me, that was, you know, we were just kind of like playing around with software, trying to help other people, but there was a lot of joy in doing that. I remember the thrill of getting out of the corporate world, and the opportunity to do that was just thrilling, and it was intoxicating almost. So that's been cool, and I've been fortunate enough, I've been able to maintain, you know, a business since then. And so I've had that opportunity. But then, of course, more recently, as my company's grown and I've had more opportunity to have more time, I've chosen to spend a lot of that available time playing with math. And I know it may seem odd to many of you who really have to work hard at motivating yourself to study. I choose to get out a calculus book and read it on my own. In fact, I consider it a great weekend if I've got time to actually get out and play with math. Or on a weekday, if I've got time to play, I'm just thrilled. In fact, this week we're in the middle of December and starting to wrap up my year at work. And so I'm getting more time now to devote to playing with math. And I can't tell you how exciting that is, and how much I can't wait to get in and get those math problems out there and just start playing with them.
Well, it is, as you were saying that, I think about, you know, we've got obviously friends that didn't grow up in America, but are here. And we've got some that aren't here. but one of the things, and it's not just America, there's other countries that this could be said of, but we have the privilege, almost, if you really want to work hard, to pretty much, you know, make our own stars, as they say. You know, we could chase things, we can go after things. You know, we were able to go out and try something new. Even we kind of left the structure and pattern of a company doing actuarial work in a life insurance company, and went on to do consulting, and then, you know, coaching actuaries. But it allowed us to kind of voluntarily go out there and look at new things. And that's a blessing to be able to do that. because as you were saying, now I probably wouldn't bring my calculus book if I had free time. But everybody's wired a little differently, right? I mean, I would probably grab a philosophy or religious or a novel or something and read or do something like that. But that's part of the play. That's part of the you're doing what you want. And in this chapter, what was really intriguing for me is Sue was trying to get us to understand within the very structure of math is this play ability. I mean, I guess I never thought about when we were doing dividend studies and asset liability management and all those things that I was playing. In fact, I don't think I should tell my boss that. They probably would have fired me. But I think the idea is what's in our mind. You know, is this something that, boy, I enjoy this, you know, because we got to do a little bit of that even in the company where you got, you know, I let's figure out a dividend formula that makes sense and we make profit. And it's like, so that now it's time to play. And the way Sue put it is now you get to lose. And I never thought about this because almost everything in math, we think about using deductive reasoning. You go through, here's the premise, hypothesis, and then you go through steps to prove it. That's kind of deductive. But he was talking about inductive. Well, here's something we got to do. Here's the little pieces. And then you come to the final product after putting all the little pieces together, you get the universal. It's like, I never had thought about doing math inductively or calling it that until I read this chapter, you know, and that's playing. You don't know where you're going to start. You know, that's kind of cool.
It is. And I hadn't thought about this till you were just talking about the old days of asset liability management. And it reminded me of something that our supervisor, Linda, told us at one time. And I think I was like an ASA kind of halfway to an FSA. So a couple of actuarial exams were still on my radar. But I had been, of course, really busy up until that point as a technician, building models, learning how to program, and doing tons of calculations. And so, you know, a lot of busy work, which I really enjoyed, but it was more someone gave me something to do and I had to go do it. And I remember her telling me is that what she wants me to develop as I get further in my career is to have time to just sit down and start asking what if. And I don't have like a task I've got to get done, but I can just sit around, think about the company and ask what if. And, you know, I remember that, even though that was probably 30 years ago, because that was the first time I'd ever even thought about that. And I think, you know, at the time I was a little shocked by it because I was kind of a doer and I enjoyed doing things. And that idea of just sitting around kind of like asking questions was not something that I thought about. But now as I look back on it, I think that that was a kind of like a pivotal moment of kind of the mentoring of being mentored, of, you know, being able to ask questions. And I think, unfortunately, in math, we spend so much time giving busy work. I don't mean busy work in a negative sense, but, you know, how many problems are there at the end of each chapter? There's, you know, like 40, 50, 60. And if you're lucky, you only have to do the evens or the odds. But you're doing so many problems, you don't ever get a chance to step back and play with things. And it really, truly is, at least in my experience, it's when you have time to play, the whole perspective of math just flips upside down because there's something about not having to do something, but choosing to do something that changes your motivation, changes your perspective. And you realize that once you start asking questions about math and you've got time to play with it, that it is like a kid in a candy store. There is no end to what you can do. And you realize, why have I spent all my time just grinding through problems that I didn't even understand what I was doing when I could be playing with things and you learn so much more? And so my experience where I've been really had time to play with math the last few years, I you know, my math understanding has accelerated, way beyond anything that could have been accomplished if I would have just been given assignments and told, do this and do that.
Well, I think our perspective becomes so narrow sometimes in the mathematical world and, mm-hmm. and those types of vocations that use math a lot, like actuarial science. I, when you were talking, it made me think, I remember watching this movie a couple of years ago. It came out, I think it was just called Jobs, of Steve Jobs, and kind of about his life. I think Ashton Kutcher played it. It's been a while since we had a movie reference, so I thought we better put one in.
Yeah, it really has been way too long.
It has been way too long. He was good at that. I mean, I don't know about the math thing, but he was able to, we talked about this in the last podcast where, talking about meaning, that strip away the non-essentials and get back to the core. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. He didn't see that we were selling a computer pad or a phone. We were selling access to the world, or we were selling relationships with each other. And then that, but he was allowed to do that, and his mind was that way. And you can watch the movie and see whether you would do it his way or not. He had some rocks along the road, and his personality was kind of different, but that probably helped him in some ways and hurt him in others. But the whole perspective thing, I guess, is what you just talked about. What's the perspective? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big deal. I think Sue in the book talked about math play being like a cook, mm-hmm. Where you choose, you get different, you might use this spice or this type of way of doing it or this type of meat. And some choices are better than others, and lots of different choices will work, but they're all going to end up yielding a little bit different dish. And you get to kind of just play around with it and see what comes out, not knowing really where you're ultimately going, which kind of mm-hmm. comes back to a couple podcasts ago when we talked about exploration, but that's the fun of play. You don't know. I mean, isn't that why, kind of back to where we started, both of us are kind of into, it may be less as we get older because we're getting wiser, but into sports and following different teams and all that. Well, one of the things that is always exciting about going to like a football game is, for the most part, you don't know how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. They're going to play, but you don't know. I mean, there's
exactly.
And that, bring that back into the math world. It's like you were able to. And Linda helped you with that. You were able to set in there and start thinking about things. You didn't know where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of fun, actually.
Right. Yeah. And back, you had originally brought up the Lazarus Math series. That was something that I spent time, a lot of it was during COVID, just writing different stories about math. And they didn't have anything to do with any syllabus, any core objectives. It was me just playing with math, reading about it, and then playing with it and, having a lot of fun. And so it was my little journey of spending time just playing with math. And I just decided to put it into a Lazarus Math series. And it is now on our website. If you ever want to read about it, there's probably about 25 different stories there. But what it taught me was the thrill of just exploring. And I can tell through that experience alone how many things that surprised me about where my play went. And as I played more, I found out it was returning to previous ideas that I thought were completely unrelated. And so I would kind of like start down one rabbit trail, play with that for a while, and then go back, start another rabbit trail, play with that. And then lo and behold, I'd find those two rabbit trails actually connected. And that was kind of like over and over again. And it wasn't anything I was planning on, but that's just the nature of math, is that you can't avoid running into each other. It's kind of like, if you've got a neighbor or someone that you just constantly run into each other, that's the way math is. You can't get away from E. I mean, it's just impossible. You can run from it. You can hide from it, but it's going to find you. Pi will always be there, and it'll show up just when you least expect it. Irrational numbers, the Pythagorean theorem, exponential curves, derivatives, it just goes on and on and on, these concepts that seemingly are subjects in some textbook, but they are fundamentally just woven throughout math, throughout life, and just throughout our experience. And they continually show up. And the more you play with it, the more you see it showing up, and the more you actually start anticipating those things coming together and the dots becoming connected.
Well, and I think that puts the human quotient in it, the play and the perspective, you know, because as we've talked about before, everybody is unique and has a little bit different makeup. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to something that may be very similar, the way you're going to look at it, and if you're allowed to have some license to just think about different, that you're going to come at it a different way all the time. And I think, so, you know, it's almost like math play is trying to, thinking about it that way, is trying to develop the ability to change perspectives. You know, if you, I think if we all maybe done that, you kind of go back to like an exam that you're taking that you had, and there's a lot of different, obviously, vocations where you have to take exams to be licensed and all that kind of stuff. You may start with that and you're starting going, it's just not clicking. And I'm like, I'm not getting this. Hmm. And it might just be start a different way because you just can't see through to the answer. And if you're allowed, and I know unfortunately a lot of these exams are timed, so it makes it a little bit more anxious. But I think if you're allowed to look at it from a different perspective, it might, the change might fall in the meter and you might be able to figure it out in a different way. And I do think a lot of people, if you ask them, like did a survey or the Gallup poll or something and said, you know, are there more than one ways to a math problem? Most people would say no. I mean, I think most people just see it that way, that there's one way to do it. You got to figure out that way. I'm not that smart. I don't do math that way. So I don't do math at all. And it's kind of sad that they're missing the many different ways. And I wonder if you wanted to talk a little bit about the pedagogical part, you know, the teaching part, because I think he mentioned in there that if we could get people to see it differently, if we thought of math as a playful sport instead of a performance sport, that would help people understand it better. I know you've done some work on or some thought and some correspondence with folks that are looking at teaching math in a different way.
The there is a movement in education now that is really pushing people to discover math more, to play with math more, and to spend less time going through textbooks. And I love textbooks. You know, I go buy them for fun. So I'm not against textbooks. But there's better ways to learn, sometimes than going through textbooks. And it's more of a combination of things. And so I've been pretty excited to kind of like read about developments in the, math education. And kind of where that's going. And, you know, we don't really have time to get into the details here, but really the essence of it all is to encourage students to have time to play, to ask questions, to discover, and give them freedom to be wrong. And, you know, it's kind of like math has tremendous value in going down that path, because wrong isn't as wrong as you may think it is. You think math is always 100% right. Like, you know, if I said 10 plus 4 equals 2, you'd tell me I'm crazy, right? But then go ahead and look at a clock. If it's 10 o'clock and 4 hours later, what time is it? It's 2 o'clock. So, you know, math just surprises you like that, that there's a wider range of correct answer than you may think. And all you have to do is go from, you know, base 10 to binary or to, you know, something else. And you realize that you're almost like learning a new language, even though you're still talking about numbers. So math is just a very wide open arena of play. And we all excel if we enjoy what we're doing. And there's so much fun in math. I mean, I can't believe how much fun I have in math. And it just hurts me to see people struggle with math, not so much struggling, I can't get the answers, but struggle because they don't enjoy it, that it's for them, it's like taking medicine and they can't wait to be done with it. And that, you know, that's what is motivating me to do these podcasts, to do Intersecting Us, is not really so much teach you math information. It's more to stimulate math play and to enjoy it and to see the beauty and wonder that comes about with playing with math.
Well, I think that kind of, you know, it kind of elbows up to the idea of, you know, looking at in any discipline, you know, it's almost like you go through, whether it's exams or different, you're being promoted, it's competition, you know, mm-hmm. And I guess play has a part of competition, but we all know when we do that, what do you do at the end of the game? Even if you don't want to, you go shake everybody's hand, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the idea of in a, it's a team. And there are certain sports that are individual. I realize that, but the community idea, you know, enhances that play, mm-hmm. enhances the, where competition's part of it, but it's not the main thing. The main mm-hmm. thing is community. And mm-hmm. I think that's where play comes in, where it's even more fun. I remember studying for actuarial exams by myself. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have called that play, but we actually studied some together, but that was much more fun. I mean, that was like, cause we, you would say, oh yeah, I didn't get that. And it, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a competition. It's like, well, I want to pass and I hope Dave does it and all that kind of, no, we both wanted each other to pass. Right. And I think that's what you do at Coaching Actuaries too. But in the chapter, if you remember, they had that, what was the guy's name? Shin Lo or Po Shin Lo. He was the guy who was the head of the math Olympiad for US probably about a decade ago. And, long story short, you can read the book, but, the idea was they had found a way, which had to do with play, to learn math. In a way that everybody was enjoying it, and they were hard to beat because their minds were just kind of trained a little bit different way. And what he did is he invited other teams from other countries to go with them and prepare, which was so different. Mm-hmm. And so I think the way Sue put it in his book was he prioritized community over competition. Mm. And I thought that was so cool.
Right.
That within the play part, mm-hmm. there was this idea of community over competition that, I mean, they still wanted to win. The U.S. still wanted to win and wanted to, but mm-hmm. the journey, it seemed like, was so much more fun for them. Mm-hmm. And it just, there should be, I'm almost like they should make, and I know I get too much into movies, but they should make a movie out of it. That would be a cool movie.
That would be.
You know, to see somebody, you know, because it's so much about competition.
Right.
And not just competition, but performance and doing well. And that's true, but can't mm-hmm. you do both, I guess, is my point.
Yeah. And that community idea is actually a whole chapter. It's chapter 12 of the book. So we're just at the tip of the iceberg about community. But you were talking about the exams, and I never heard it before, but you said it was elbowing up to it. I like that, elbowing up to it. And so I'm going to elbow up to the some of my experiences with exams. And you know, as I mentioned that, you know, I went through the exams and I had to study. I didn't have as much time to play because I had to prepare for an exam. But now as I'm on the exam preparation business, I have more time to look at problems and look at them over and over again. And the community part is I have a whole team with me at Coaching Actuaries to be able to bounce ideas off. And that is a thrill to be able to ask someone else, what is your perspective on this concept? And to be able to talk through things. And then we have like discussion forums where we answer questions from our customers. And, you know, it's thrilling to hear questions that customers have and to be able to dialogue with them. And, you know, the goal is that we help them, but we learn a lot from our customers just by their questions that they're asking. And so there's this ongoing, you know, teacher student type of thing, but we're all learning together, and we're all growing together. And I call that work. And so, I mean, I call that work because it, I get paid to do that, but, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like play. And another thing that I really like about it is I can now, you know, I've been studying like Exam FM, since 1988, I believe is when I first started studying for that exam, interest theory. So I've been doing a lot of interest theory for a long time. And, you know, you feel like you kind of you have some mastery of it, and maybe you do to some extent, but, you know, I'm still learning things as I go through and explaining new problems, new solutions to people. I get a lot out of it because there's something new for me each day as I go through that. But I get the privilege of kind of thinking deeply about these things and not just going through and seeing how fast I can get to a solution, but kind of playing with the idea of like, okay, what's the best way to explain this? How can I connect this concept to this concept so it is easier for students to understand? And you can think a lot about the presentation of the material, which enhances your understanding of the concepts that are being tested.
Well, and I think within that, it's the idea that you talked about, you know, work and play. It's when you are working at something that's going to benefit someone else.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about most people will want to do better than if they were doing it for themselves. Even when we're supposed to help ourselves, and that's part of who we are, but there's just something more. It's kind of back to that teamwork idea, which, like you said, mm-hmm. we'll get into when we talk about that in a later chapter. But you know, what all this does, even in play, because, you know, it's sometimes hard to differentiate between the two. Am I working or playing? Because it still takes a lot of effort. You know, mm-hmm. you might be playing a sport or playing at math, but you still got to put the effort in. And so what it teaches is perseverance. And perseverance is much more fun to do together. I mean, that's just, you know, I remember just a quick anecdotal story. We were one game short of making the playoffs in football when I was a senior in high school. And we thought we had a really good team in basketball. But one of our guys got hurt, and so we did real well. But we were ready to get to the state thing, and we're up by a bucket and 2 points, and then some or 1 point. We're up by 1 point, and guy shot a long shot and made it, and lost. And you know, but you know, so it was just about. But yet I still have friends. We still talk about that, not too much, but we were persevered together. Mm-hmm. We lost together, we won together.
Right.
And I think that's the idea of, I remember back even then, you know, it's like when in our little actuarial department, you know, we all kind of, you know, if one of us didn't pass, we all kind of felt bad for each other because it was kind of, we're a team, you know, then we all celebrated together when we, mm-hmm. and we come over and try to, you know, help. It's like, hey, you know, we're still friends, you know, like, well, you got that going for you. I hope that's mm-hmm. nice. But I think the perseverance part comes in there. And again, doesn't mean it has to, I think that's some of the funnest things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, I don't want to give the idea that play is like easy.
Not at all. Yeah.
Right. And you know, when we play sports, part of what makes sports fun is the struggle. And for me, it's also the progress, the growth. And you'd mentioned about the changes in math education. Probably the best summary of where math education is trying to go to is to develop a growth mindset. And the idea behind a growth mindset is you focus on growing your understanding. And in order to grow, you've got to struggle. And struggle is going to be chapter 8 of this book. So we're going to talk more about struggle. But for now, I just kind of wanted to give the intuition that play with math, but expect that play to include struggle, to include challenges. And what the brain research tells us is that when we struggle, we grow the most. And it's not when we succeed. And so if you're struggling with a certain problem, that is when your brain is growing. And so don't forget that. Just like when you're playing in sports, if you're doing that one extra lap that, you know, you feel like, well, maybe I should quit and not do that extra lap. Well, that extra lap or that extra rep is just one more lap or one more rep. But that's where most of the growth occurs, is during that final struggle. And so don't lose heart with math as you struggle, as you play with it. Remember that is when the growing occurs.
And I think that is true. You know, we all kind of know that the most essential and important things in life take the most effort, but it doesn't. It's very meaningful. So, well, this is cool. We've got a lot of chapters coming up. I hope you're excited about listening as we are. We got beauty and truth, and as you said, struggle and freedom. And yeah, this is a real good book. We do encourage you to get it, Mathematics for Human Flourishing by Francis Sue. And if it's okay, Dave, I would like to end with a quote that he had from Plato. I thought that would be neat.
Please
summed it up pretty good. So we'll end our podcast with this. As Francis Sue writes on page 63, as Plato said, "Do not then, my friend, keep children in their studies by compulsion, but by play."
This has been the Intersecting Us podcast. To further engage with Intersecting Us, go to intersectingus.com.